Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome in. It is a big Friday night because you know what? While the rest of the sporting world may have paused, unless you're watching some horse racing or some soccer from Belarus, WrestleMania. We're ready for it this weekend. Coming up in a few minutes, we've got a special guest on the program fighting in one of the main events on the big card
as we
get ready for it. WrestleMania 36. We'll get into all of that.
Oh, yeah!
But my man, you hear him screaming already. He is LeVar Arrington.
Come on, let's go.
All-American.
Yeah, I got to do that right.
Man.
I truly appreciate that.
You know, we got a long list of accolades that we could throw your way.
But the relevance lies and lives with All-American. All-American man.
Now, it's important to point out, number one, on Instagram, you are King of the Mammals.
Yes.
So before there was a Tiger King,
anybody gave a damn
about Joe Exotic.
Here we go.
Before anybody cared.
There was a man.
There was a man from Pennsylvania
with a
dream.
Yeah.
And he rose up and he leapt like a tiger.
He rose on up like a tiger,
right. Stalking his prey in the grass. You saw him at Penn State.
Yeah.
You saw him in the National Football League.
Yeah.
You see him on FS1 and every Sunday morning on these Fox Sports Radio airwaves with me.
Woo!
He's LeVar Arrington.
Man, am I going to WrestleMania?
Well, you did do promo school, and I'm trying to get my invite.
That's right.
I think, you know, because I could be your manager. We could do this.
That's right, Samoa Joe. I want my rematch with Harmon. You hear this? We're coming for you. I'm coming for you. The ground under your feet is going to move. It's going to be like a storm. It's going to be like a tornado coming your way. I'm coming with my man, Harmon, and we're coming locked and loaded. Yeah.
That is right. Find me over at Swollen Dome on Twitter and Instagram. Carry us with you as you do on the iHeartRadio app, SiriusXM Channel 83, 400-plus affiliates nationwide. Having some fun with you. We appreciate it. You got a lot of entertainment options. We know, given everything that's going on in this great nation of ours right now, you're looking for entertainment. You're looking to find a little ray of light. We hope to make you laugh, and we will make you laugh. We will make you think, and you'll probably shake your fist in anger at us more than a few times over the course of the night.
That's okay. Because we're going to shake our finger right back at you.
And that's the bottom line.
That's right.
No question about it.
Nothing personal, you know.
Now, wrestling has always been a big part of my life. I remember doing trading card shows, right, where you'd be behind the table and you'd go sell the latest rookie cards, autograph cards, whatever else. Because you know why? Because you wanted to make enough money at the trading card show that you could parlay that into a couple of tickets for you and your brothers to go watch wrestling when it came to town. Out to Rosemont to see the WWF, as it was called when I was a wee lad, or when the AWA was in town. The guys coming down from Minnesota, that's where my love of the Road Warriors, not just because they were from Chicago and liked to hurt people and the face paint and just being all around badasses, but we used to go to the matches. And I remember WrestleMania was on pay-per-view
who do you go with, Road Warriors or British Bulldogs?
I was always a Road Warriors guy. We snack on danger and we dine on death.
I was more of a British Bulldog fan. I mean, they just did it for me.
Davey Boy Smith and the Dynamite Kid, that was what was getting you popping back in the day.
They truly did it for me.
I gotta be honest.
And you had to choose.
You had to have your sides.
If you were a true mark, you had to choose your side, right? Was it WWF or was it WCW?
That's just it. Once that battle started,
you had to choose.
Because I'm aging myself before those battles even began. This was back when it was still regionalized.
Right. If you went Road Warriors, that means you went away from, you know, the guys, in my opinion.
But that's just it, though. I mean, they were in the AWA and doing some work in Japan, and then finally made their way to the WWF back in the day. Some strange storylines. You can read all about that with the Road Warrior Hawk. Rest in peace. Yeah. But the Animal still getting after it. His son playing in the league for a number of years.
He calls games now.
Part of the Fox
universe. Very well. Yes. Yeah. Speaks very well. Does very well. Represents our strong linebacking community.
The community of linebackers. Do you guys get like cards that you have to carry around?
Well, we don't need a card to carry around. It's this natural thing called whoop your ass.
That generally comes down to it. See, it really just plays right back into this whole wrestling world we got going on.
You don't need to pull out a card when you have that in your resume.
Well, you got the old boots to ass is call is what we've got.
I'm not afraid to wear underwear with boots up to my knees.
No, I'm ready. I mean, inadvertently, I walked into kind of a thong challenge the other day. Fortunately, it's kind of.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
But I mean, look, if
they're not going to go that far.
The idea was that it was going to raise money to help people that needed it. I mean, it wasn't just gratuitous.
Was there a poll involved as well?
Yeah, well, we haven't quite gotten to that level. It kind of came up on the show, and it's like, all right, keep that on the burner for a while. But if you're going to say go to the tights, hey, you know, whatever works. Quadzilla is ready to go.
That would be one. Amazing logo, Mr. Mike Harmon on a stripper pole.
Wow.
With a thong on.
You just took that next level.
Oh!
I mean, it is a big Friday night celebrating with you.
Here.
Wherever you are. Well, because one of the things you can do with your takeout now is you can get the cocktails to go. So maybe you're raising one. Me, I've just got this refilled strawberry watermelon water bottle here.
Yeah, man.
It is water, though. You can try
now
it.
I really believe you're going to end up in a thong on a pole. Strawberry seltzer water? Yeah, come on.
You say that like it's wrong.
Come on.
I got to have a little bit of flavor.
With a little bit of Mike, and a little bit of Mike.
Take off your uniform.
Oh, Mike. Little bit of Mike.
So this will be interesting as the night goes on because we're just 8 minutes in, far away from the slide over baby hour. And
we've
Lamar
already taken your clothes off.
That's right. I'm already stripped down, bare. calves nice and oiled up and ready to go.
You're in a competition with Saquon right now.
Yeah, there's no question.
Yeah.
Godzilla unite.
That's right.
We got Rex Ryan talk. We got Tua Tagovailoa and some question whether he's falling. Sabotage? We'll get into that.
Always
we got
happens.
Dabo Swinney saying football will be played.
It's going to happen.
No doubt.
We got to have it.
There you got to talk about evangelizing
gotta pay the
there.
Bills.
You got the battle in Chicago saying
it's going to be an open competition.
Bill O'Brien, now he's got to justify any move he's ever made.
Oh, wow.
This is one of those, the receipts are due.
Well, here we go.
Giannis saying he can't play basketball. Because he doesn't have any rims.
No rims.
So he's playing guitar, though, so he's serenading us all.
How about it?
And then we'll talk about Ty Law. He gave us a Peyton Manning secret.
Ooh.
We'll see if we can get into LeVar's brain and what other
West
secrets
PA guy.
He might be able to unleash on us here Fox Sports Radio. As always, you're welcome to dive into the mix either on Twitter, at Fox Sports Radio, at Swollen Dome, at LeVar Arrington, at King of the Mammals.
Yeah.
On Instagram is where you find LeVar. Dive on in. What was the seminal moment in the wrestling universe, or if you've got one character, an athlete that you've grabbed something from their persona, and we get it, The Rock, or you like cracking beers over your head like you're Stone Cold, no question about it, those are good things. But if you have any others, by all means,
I'm a Booker T guy.
You're a big Booker T
Booker
guy.
Booker T's my guy, and now
he was a guy that was scaring you in the promo school, right?
And now I call him Uncle Booker.
Oh, now he's Uncle.
That's
hey,
correct.
Tell you what, we're talking WrestleMania 36. We're fired up. This is a special treat for us tonight. Joining us now on the hotline, he is ready.
He's
for
a
his
mountain
big,
of a man.
That's right, a mountain of a man, standing 6'5". He's going to be in a main event on. Over the weekend on WrestleMania 36, he's Drew McIntyre. Drew, welcome in.
Well, thank you for having me, guys.
Oh, it's good, man. I got to ask you. I know you watched, before we go into the wrestling, I got to jump right in on it and ask you about the Gypsy King and the fight with Deontay Wilder. Did you see the fight, first of all, and what did you think about it?
I did watch the fight. I watched it with a few of the guys in the hotel lobby. I think we were coming back from a tour, perhaps. They all watched it together, and Yeah, Fury crushed him. There's no other way to put it.
Well, I mean, how did has that motivated you to go into this fight with Brock Lesnar? Was there some motivation from the Gypsy King? Woo!
Oh, yeah, I was certainly inspired by that crushing defeat.
Yeah.
If I can go into WrestleMania, the last time Brock and I were together was a few weeks ago. Actually, more than a few weeks ago in Brooklyn, and I dropped Brock 3 times in a row with my finishing move, the Claymore. Nobody's manhandled Brock like that before. We haven't touched since. We're not going to touch till WrestleMania. And my plan is to crush Brock. Just like the Gypsy King.
Yeah.
Well, now we got the build up, the excitement to this event.
It's going
to
crush them.
And obviously, those that know your story, Drew, I mean, some like America right now, and the worldwide, you know, punched a little bit, knocked down a little bit, but here you are fighting back.
That's right.
Back in this big match. What would this mean for you personally in your career to hit this milestone?
Yeah, this would mean everything. You know, I was tipped to become a world champion by Vince McMahon 10 years ago when I was 24 years old. And things took a few wrong turns. I eventually got fired, and I didn't have to start from scratch. I started from about 10 feet down, dug my way up, then started from scratch and worked my way from nothing right back to the main event of WrestleMania. And, you know, it's not quite what I envisioned. We don't have any fans there, but the fact that we're still having WrestleMania, we're still giving the world something to look forward to put smiles on their faces. WrestleMania weekend, you know, that's something I'm very proud of. And the truth is, considering my story, you know, I don't think it would be the Drew McIntyre story if everything went to plan, that I won the Royal Rumble, went to WrestleMania, had a big moment, everyone celebrated, everyone was in the stadium. This is very suitable for the Drew McIntyre story, the way it's taking place, and I'm so proud that we're still bringing WrestleMania to everybody during these difficult times.
You know, I think that is amazing sentiments, and that is an amazing approach. As a former pro player, I'm not 100% sure how I would feel walking into the arena to compete as a gladiator and there not being the mob there to listen and to cheer you on. When you talk about doing that and what that means for your legacy of what you've been able to accomplish, Drew, just answer me this one. How memorable will this be in the list of most memorable moments? Whether win or lose, you're going to compete at a high level and compete during a time where people need that getaway and need to escape and put their hopes and dreams on somebody's shoulders like yours. How memorable does a moment like this in time become for you?
Yeah, this is huge to me. I've been getting so many texts and messages on the social media, people saying, I'm sorry, it's not the way you envisioned it being, and I just don't understand that. Like, that was my thought initially. I was disappointed. I was angry, and then I thought about the bigger picture, and I went, yeah, that's selfish. You know, we still are going forward, still producing WrestleMania. We're still giving everybody something to look forward to, and if I can face Brock Lesnar for the WWE title, everybody knows my story. If I can give them the happy end and bring a smile to their face, that's the most important thing to me. And also, historically wise, every year someone has a big moment at WrestleMania, maybe wins a title, everyone celebrates, they remember it that night, the next night they remember it, a few weeks they remember it, they play it in some packages, but time passes, people forget, the next WrestleMania happens, more moments happen, time moves, people forget, it gets lost in history unless you're watching on the WWE Network for $9.99. But this WrestleMania is never going to be forgotten.
That's right.
This is the WrestleMania when the world stood still.
That's right.
Everything that happens on this WrestleMania will be remembered for the rest of time.
That's right,
that's
Drew!
It, right? As you run through Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship, WrestleMania on pay-per-view, you can go to WWE.com, FoxSports.com.
He's got me ready to run
well.
Through a wall.
You got, I know.
I'm ready to run through a wall,
LeVar's about
Drew.
To throw me through the wall.
Let's do this,
Drew. He's getting ready to knock me out.
Like,
yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, I'm getting motivated. I'm feeling your energy right now. He's a little bit later where I'm at in Tampa, but I'm getting all fired up.
So that's all right.
I don't know.
That's
my wife's
all right.
Going to get all this energy when I go downstairs.
That's right. She's going to get that energy, Drew. And you tell her it came from LeVar and Mike. Yeah.
Boom. All right. Tell me, what's the easier one to get hyped on when you're talking as a heel or as a face?
I mean, both for me. You know, I get a kick out of getting boos from the crowd, but at the same time, recently, you know, it's kind of uncharted waters for me that the crowd started rallying behind me because I'd never turned good. It's not like I came out and saved the good guy in distress or the girl in distress. It's just I came out and I started messing around in the microphone and I kind of started being myself. You know, I was always a big, angry, serious guy, big, hairy, angry Scotsman that no one could relate to. saying mean things all the time, so people didn't get me. Suddenly, I started having a laugh, having a good time on the microphone, playing with the crowd, and then beating people up, because that's what Drew McIntyre does. People started digging it. They started getting behind me, right in time for Royal Rumble. And then when Brock Lesnar eliminated 13 people in the Royal Rumble in a row, he was on a rampage. I came in, kicked his big head off, knocked him out of the Royal Rumble. Then people really got behind me. So the fact that people got behind me organically, you know, is pretty cool. And the fact they're digging my story, they're digging my real story, it means a lot. Being a bad guy is cool, was fun. But the fact that people are behind me and cheering my real story is the biggest thing in the world to me right now. And if I can give something back at WrestleMania this weekend and bring some smiles to their faces, then that means more than anything. So I'm leaning towards good guy right now.
Leaning towards good guy, and I like that, but I also do love the bad guy. I mean, when you bring that hammer down, people call you the bad guy, but it's a bad guy for a reason. Let me ask you this. When we're talking about hitting into WrestleMania, what else is within the storylines? Because there's always storylines that you guys receive and that you get that are of interest. What else is interesting to you about heading into this particular WrestleMania?
Yeah, I think this WrestleMania is so unique. Obviously, as you said, there's no one there. We have, very strict health guidelines, obviously, with everything going on. So what we have is multiple closed sets with minimal personnel and following the CDC guidelines, which means there's some unique matches. Mm-hmm. The Undertaker is in a match, or the Boneyard match. I don't know what that is, but it seems very interesting to me. It's going to involve some funky stuff. Like John Cena and Bray Wyatt are in a Firefly Funhouse match. I've seen that three times, which is going to be very interesting. The setup's going to be different. It's, again, from a different set. So we'll be jumping from different sets to sets. And then Drew McIntyre, Brock Lesnar, the two big, burly fighting guys. We going in there, we're going to hit each other. Usually the crowd are there. You can't hear the shots. You're going to hear every shot we hit each other with through the screen. You're going to feel my pain and hopefully feel my joy when I win. So I'm basically describing it as WWE WrestleMania presents WWE Mortal Kombat, because we're jumping around all these different sets. If you ever played Mortal Kombat, you get all these wild different scenarios where you jump about fight to fight. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I look at this year. It's like Mortal Kombat, the video game.
God, oh, fantastic wow. stuff. Watching a bunch of the promos that you shot, it looked like you were also training like Rocky. Like you were in Rocky IV.
Braveheart Rocky. Yeah. But I'm in the highlands of Scotland in my wrestling gear. It was freezing cold. The hailstones were coming down. The wind was blowing. I almost fell off the side of the mountain at one point. I'm in my underpants in the mountains carrying some barrels around. There's some Atlas stones around. Thank God it came out good. I mean, we suffer for our art sometimes, but the guys did a great job. So I'm Braveheart Rocky this year.
Yeah.
And Lesnar is Drago.
Carrying the spirit of one William Wallace. I love that. Let me ask you this. When people say that it's so scripted and it's acting and it's fake, I got some really close friends that have been in the wrestling game, and they are as beat up, if not more beat up than I am, as a former football player. What say you when guys say 6'5", 260, 70-pound guys are locking it up, and, oh, it's for fake. They're acting. What say you, Mr. William Wallace Jr.?
Yeah, I never get upset about it anymore. I just always say, have you ever watched it? They generally say no. And I say, just come and try a show. And the way I approach my style, like some other guys, I can't say lay their stuff in very well. My approach to our business and our industry is I wrestle for the dads that don't want to be there. You know, they've saved their money, they work hard, they take their kids who are big fans, or their wife's a fan. They come there and they're like, God, this wrestling, but my kids love it, so I just want to go. When I go out there, I hit and I don't stomp my feet, I leave a mark, and I want to get that dad's attention where he goes, yo, was that about wrestling last night? Some of the guys, I don't know, but when that Drew McIntyre's in there, cool, he wasn't pulling anything. I saw every strike, I felt every strike, and that's what Drew McIntyre, Brock Lesnar is going to be. They're very, very physical, and that's how I approach everything. Also, we're on the road 52 weeks a year, sometimes four shows a weekend, sometimes a two-week tour. You're nonstop, you're traveling, you're in planes, your body breaks down. In conclusion, if you figure out how to fake gravity, tell this guy first, please.
No question about it. Ready for the WWE Championship, WrestleMania 36 this weekend. Drew McIntyre, Brock Lesnar, your headliners. Drew McIntyre, thank you so much for your time.
Do it,
inspiring
Drew.
Story.
Do
we'll
it.
Be cheering
you
for you. We look to see you when you guys are back on the road.
Do it,
Have
Drew.
A blessed weekend. Thanks so much. Stay safe.
No Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right.
Take care.
Be
That's
blessed.
Drew McIntyre.
Yes, that is.
Ready to fight
That's
this weekend.
Right. Let's fight now.
FoxSports.com.
I
want to
fight you now,
Mike. Pay-per-view. We're going to do that. We might tape it and see if we can get an audition along the way. At D McIntyre WWE is where you find him on Twitter. Watch it this weekend on pay-per-view. LeVar and I certainly will, because we'll be talking about it.
That's right.
Sunday morning.
I love when
and
the heavyweights get after
as
it.
Well, that's just it. 6'5",
and you know, Brock
260s.
Is a big tenner, you know, so
well, but that's
even
it.
More
no,
to it.
No punches pulled between these two.
That's right.
Right, two big boys getting after it. We're excited. We're with you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Drew McIntyre, straight fire right. off the top, WWE superstar.
Fire.
Jason Cole.
Fire.
Our guy from fan side and friend of the program
Boom.
For many a year. Yeah. And hopefully we'll be able to call the next heavyweight champion of the WWE a friend and welcome him back in soon enough. But you and I having some fun as we do on Sundays, getting to do it here on a big Friday night. We thank you listening wherever you are. You've got all your choices for entertainment and information. We're glad you're raised a glass and you're hanging out with us a little bit. We're having some fun. We'll keep you laughing all night long. And a story that made me chuckle, LeVar, and you could mm-hmm. speak to this very well, I'm sure. Ty Law shows up on WEEI doing an interview, and obviously you're going to pick his brain a lot about Tom Brady. But he went into a story about Peyton Manning and when you got to the Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton would try to get you. Once you get over to the Pro Bowl, you're on the same team. So Peyton tries to get you drunk and then dig into your brain. He'd feed you these Mai Tais, et cetera, et cetera, and go from there. So
that's so funny because Mai Tais at the pool were a necessity. And even better than that. But go ahead, go. Finish
no,
the story.
But I mean, that becomes the question, yeah, right? I mean, behind the scenes, obviously, you've got
there's a ton
guys
of
that
recruiting.
Are normally trying to crush each other.
There's a ton of recruiting that
guys
goes
are,
on. There's a ton of information grabbing going on, 100%.
Right? Everybody's aware of the other guy's contracts.
And depending,
right?
Everybody's aware of contracts.
You do your due diligence so you know who's coming
yes.
up a year from now, who's got some leverage that
yes.
maybe they can play with their team.
Yes, people are competitive with the girls. It's everything is on the table for competition. And it's interesting that you're about to go where you're going because, you know, so many we'll say preterm deals have been done at Pro Bowls, at least back then. At least back then.
Well, I got to imagine that's a lot of the chatter. I mean, obviously it's moved about a bit, so you don't have the Hawaii backdrop all the time, which had right. to be a nice thing to get you into.
Long flight.
But you were nice and relaxed once you got there.
See, you West Coast guys, and now I'm one of you, but you West Coast guys, you're spoiled by that trip because
I've never done it. I've not been to Hawaii yet.
It's just like flying to the East Coast.
Okay, so a good 6 hour kind of.
But if you're flying from the East Coast, it's like flying here and then doing it again. And
that's
like
a punch in
the gut. It's a 10-hour type of flight.
So that means you're probably more susceptible to leanings one or two Mai Tai earlier than you would have otherwise.
Once you get there, you are certainly in tune with having a good time. You are not going to waste that experience.
A good opportunity, best of the best, all in one spot.
And then here's the thing, right? Here's the thing, Mike. If a guy doesn't like his coach or the team or the GM and it's inevitable that he's leaving, they talking. If they love their team and they love their coach or they love, you know, what's going on, it's conversation.
Did that guy get bludgeoned a little bit for being a kiss ass? If they were too lovey-dovey about their coach and their situation?
No, because generally they were, you know, Super Bowl champs at some point.
Oh, okay, sure.
You know, they were all different. You know, at the Pro Bowls, you see the guys who have won Super Bowls versus and have had league MVPs, they just move a little differently than the rest of the guys.
That extra swagger. Sure.
I wanted to kick their asses. I didn't like none of them.
You ever drill anybody into a pool?
No. We were busy having. I went to three, so I had an opportunity to do it three times. I just enjoyed not being a rookie because the best rookie story is when you walk down to the bar that's in front of the pool. Everybody be like, "And Introducing such and such rookie. All right. Drinks on him.
Oh, there no. That's go. One hell yeah. of a bill.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
My beloved, the Chicago Bears had their meeting with the media.
Pull yourself together.
Yeah,
Mike.
No, it's a beautiful thing. They said there's going to be an open competition for the quarterback position. Nick Foles comes in, Super Bowl champion. The man has a statue in Philadelphia.
Jason Cole seems to think that means they're giving the job to Nick Foles.
Well,
already.
A lot of folks do. I would not be shocked given his familiarity with Nagy.
Trubisky can run, though.
I like Trubisky.
On highlights. Now, he's a good body. He's young.
Now, one of the
still
things, LeVar, as I've watched him, and it goes a little in line with, not to put him in the same breath as Tom Brady as the player, but just follow my logic for a second. There are people that perhaps watched one or two Patriots games last year and decided that Tom Brady's done.
Mm.
Right?
That is true.
And maybe there's some statistical things if you want to go deep dive into the analytics of it all and decide, well, maybe he's not the guy. Well, at 43, fine. But I defy you to tell me he had a full cart in front of him in terms of weaponry and guys who understood, knew the system, got the timing right, and were where he needed them to be. So take some of the completion percentage away. Those are throwaways. The offensive line gets graded down. Why? Because guys can't create separation, and he's holding the ball longer. So maybe taking an extra sack or the extra throwaway. With Mitchell Trubisky last year, you legitimately had one wide receiver you trusted in Allen Robinson. Everything else was either a gadget guy or a guy who's been kind of a hybrid returner or third receiver. Right, Taylor Gabriel had that one massive game. That was really the game of his life. The rest of his career, he totaled 7 touchdowns, I think, in 70 career games. I mean, it's not – he had 3 in one, and all of a sudden, he's the guy. They're tight ends that were supposed to be a huge part of this Matt Nagy offense. Trey Burton was hurt, ineffective, and Adam Shaheen couldn't catch a cold. So that position's useful. Useless, I should say. You're running the ball with Montgomery. You wouldn't commit to it. And Tariq Cohen should have been touching the ball 5 to 7 times per game more on average as a route runner. Or if you're going to decide to run in between the tackles, you have to do it more than once in a game, because the law of averages says a guy of his frame is probably getting swallowed up with some regularity. And that's exactly what happened.
But here's the problem with your logic. You could use that same logic with Tom Brady this year.
And while people will make the
argument point that it's comparable to Tom Brady this season, Tom Brady at one point was undefeated halfway through the season.
Sure.
And ended up being at, I do believe they were
finished 12-4.
Mm-hmm. And granted, they lost in the first round of the playoffs, so you go 12-5 on the year, but 12-5 is a far cry from 8-8. So even if you're going to make the discussion point and the argument point to compare and say, oh, well, if he had similar numbers based upon the same type of scenarios that Tom Brady had playing out in New England, then now you're faced with the task of saying, well, a defense that you thought would be a pretty dominant defense in that Chicago Bears defense with the pass rush, assassin of Khalil Mack on that side. You got some covered guys. You look at Tom Brady's defense. Everybody said it was the defense that was carrying them, and that was why they were able to get to that record. In reality, you cannot take stats and all the time be able to justify the means to an end during the course of a game. Tom Brady has figured out how to win games without having staggering stat lines to be able to get to those wins.
Sure.
And if Trubisky could figure out the same exact formula, then you can have a little bit more sensitivity. You can give him a little bit more leash and leeway in terms of what his performances look like if you're not going 8-8 on the season. And I think that everybody would be happy and okay to give Trubisky that type of credit and that type of leeway to build his career. But going 8-8 and at times playing really, really well, and at times playing really, really, really subpar style of football is what, without having the reputation that one Tom Brady has or one of the elite quarterbacks have, the problem Trubisky's going to always run into is there's an Aaron Rodgers in our division. We have to figure out how we are going to combat against an Aaron Rodgers. Kirk Cousins flirts with it, but doesn't seem to be able to bring it in the biggest games of the year. But undoubtedly, we have to get a quarterback that can compete in the same division as Aaron Rodgers. And right now, that is the biggest question mark that hangs over his head. And who better to bring in than a guy that has shown the ability and the propensity to make plays work for him when he gets the opportunity when he was in Philadelphia. Not so much in Jacksonville, but when he was in Philadelphia, Nick Foles was that guy for them, led them to their lone Super Bowl win. And I think that that's what's the most damning information against Trubisky in this moment right now, is that Nick Foles has shown that he can win that big game, while Trubisky shows not to have gotten to that point of where his career can lead him to those wins.
Yeah, there's a couple of other things that are going to get play. I mean, there's always going to be the Patrick Mahomes effect. For me, it was more the Deshaun Watson effect. But Patrick Mahomes, after you trade up to get Trubisky and you see Mahomes win an MVP, win a Super Bowl, people are going to be salty. The Bears twice now in the last 15 years have had unbelievable seasons marked with special teams brilliance and turnovers by in the bunches. We saw that when they made the Super Bowl run with Rex Grossman, where they finally lost to Peyton Manning in what was a sloppy Super Bowl in Miami. The only thing you really remember from that game was Prince doing Purple Rain in the rain.
Well, I remember one Devin Hester taking the opening kick.
No, well, I mean, there is that. There's no question. I went to Portillo's out here in Southern California. It's a Chicago staple. They have a place down at near Disneyland.
They were going crazy, weren't they?
Well, they have a picture of it up, right?
Oh,
so they got a bunch of milestones. They got a bunch of gangster pictures.
I thought you were there when it took
place. No. Oh, okay. I was still in Chicago.
Okay.
When all that broke.
Well,
but I mean, that was the highlight.
Chicago was crazy.
That was off the hook. That was crazy.
Yeah, I thought y'all were going to get that Super Bowl.
Oh, well.
Yeah, like, this is destiny. Like, Devin Hester, open the kickoff. This is destiny.
Well,
like, we're going to
win
this.
Crazy, right? Look at it. But it's a great reminder that turnovers don't always keep coming, right? And the Patriots had that last year. First half of the season, everything went the defense's way. Every bounce, every turnover, every free ball.
Stop getting it at the end of the year.
And the end of the year, it wasn't there. Likewise, the Bears, during that Super Bowl run for Lovie Smith's team, turnovers galore, plus Devin Hester's special teams wizardry. Mm-hmm. We'll just leave it at that. We'll call him a wizard. He can be in the next Harry Potter film, or maybe go take a role in Cursed Child when that's back up on the stages. Go see it if you can get to it. But then the Bears 2 years ago, same thing. Turnovers, craziness, sack total through the roof. Bears offense takes advantage. Last year, those big plays weren't coming. Mm. They were fewer and further in between to help bolster the offense, and so you had a bit of a drop-off. So a little more of the parallel. But I think Mitchell Trubisky's biggest, you know, the 800-pound gorilla on him is in Kansas City. Doesn't matter what else is in the division. Wow. He's always going to be, no matter how well he plays in spurts, he's never going to get the benefit of the doubt because they screwed that up.
If he wins, he does. Even if his stats aren't what they need to be, if he wins, winning cures all ills. And if I'm Trubisky, he still has to focus in on, can I lead and can I win? Because Nick Foles isn't necessarily – I don't 100% go with Jason on this one, Jason Cole. I'd really believe that if Nick Foles was the answer – that he would still be in Jacksonville. If Nick Foles was truly the answer, he would still be in Philadelphia. So if I'm Trubisky, I'm taking the challenge head on, and I'm saying, okay, if you want to bring this traveler, this mercenary into my locker room, I'm going to show you what Mitch Trubisky can do when I'm handling
the duties for this Chicago Bears team?
Well, certainly the gauntlet thrown down. Nick Foles is well-traveled, was almost out of football before things worked out, and he becomes the guy in Philly, and they have their tremendous run. But we've seen him as a starter where it hasn't worked well in several stops. And Jacksonville, unfortunately, he got hurt on a play that resulted in a touchdown. So we'll never know exactly where that season was going to head, but they find that they've got a diamond in the rough, at least they think, or at least a folk hero in Gardner Minshew, which makes him expendable. And with some considerations, as Foles talked about, of moving some monies around and taking care of that, well, we now have a competition.
You know what
in
Mitch
Chicago.
Trubisky needs to do? I'm going to tell you what Mitch Trubisky needs to do. He needs to absolute power!
He's going to be fine.
I like the way you think.